The culture is just screaming at us, more, 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 do, do, do. Work harder, do more, when God just wants us to be. Our schedules, our calendars are packed with no margins, no breathing room, and as a result, the things that are really important to us, God, family, friends, our physical health, they go by the wayside. Anybody with me? So I'm going to be talking about physical health this morning, physical margins, and I just want to preface this. I am no fitness guru. I do live a pretty disciplined life in the area of diet and exercise, but I'm not going to talk necessarily all about, this is not a diet and exercise message. This is a love message. This is a message to help us be everything that Christ died for us to be. So I'm going to read some statistics, and this is not for condemnation and shame. This is us to get a revelation of what's really going on in our culture because there is no margin in our life for our physical health. So to set this message up, I'm going to read a few statistics. And I got these like on a simple Google search. But some of you in here are way smarter than I am, and you know these details way better than I do. But the CDC declared obesity an epidemic more than two decades ago in 1999. In 1999. Last week, a medical report came out that made national news, and it says this: without significant action to change this trajectory, more than half of the world's population will be overweight or obese. The World Obesity Federation in 2023 Atlas is predicting that 51% of the world, or more than 4 billion people, will be obese or overweight in the next 12 years, according. So this is not about, like, body shaming or that. This is the fruit of no margin in our physical health. This one statistic here. Let me read you another one. A study was published recently in the Mayo Clinic Proceedings that 2.7% of Americans get moderate amount of exercise, eat right, and avoid smoking. Unfortunately, like 97.3% of American adults get a failing grade on healthy lifestyle habits. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Isn't this just so encouraging? It gets better. The number one health condition in the U.S. is heart disease. It is one of the leading causes of death, comprising of more than a quarter of all deaths annually. It is estimated that someone has a heart attack in the U.S. every 43 seconds. The vast majority of those suffering from heart disease can be cured by a healthy lifestyle. I am very passionate about this topic. You may have heard me preach before on the supernatural healing of God. I've prayed for many, many people, and a lot of people have been healed. My friend Ruby here, we prayed so hard. Not only did she have a baby, but she's got another one coming. So maybe we shouldn't have prayed that hard, right? Right? So I'm very passionate about this, and I've had to bury people way earlier than they need be because of decisions. And I love people. This is a love message, not a condemnation and shame message, okay? So just track with me here. The majority of adults in America have one in five chronic conditions: diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, arthritis, cancer, and are dependent upon prescription drugs. More than 131 million Americans take at least one prescription medication, knowing that the drug will never cure the disease and only manage the symptoms. And we've all seen the drug commercials on, if you watch TV, I mean, it's just one after the other after the other. Let's eat this food that makes us really sick so that we can take all these drugs that give us all these side effects so that we can be really sick, so that we can take more drugs and we can get more depressed and burdened and break down in our physical bodies. There is a better way. There is a better way. And what I want to attempt to do is help you realize it is a heart issue. It is more of a soul issue than anything else. We get the soul right. We get the heart right. It's very, very easy to take care of our physical bodies. You tracking with me? Okay. So let's read our main scripture for this series, but I'm going to read it out of the Message. It's Matthew 6, 30 through 33. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never, ever seen, don't you think he'll tend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is get you to relax, not be so preoccupied on getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know God, both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. No FOMO here. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Church, we are running too hard. We're running too hard. Our bodies are breaking down. This, to me, is a revival message, not only to Zao Church, but I would say to the church at large. God, what can we really do for God if our bodies are taken care of? Amen? And there's a lot of that stuff that we control. There's some things that we can't control, but there are a lot of things that we can control. If you're taking notes this morning, the title to this message series, part two, is Physical Margins. So will you pray with me? We'll get started. Father, I pray that you would give us all you got this morning. We open up our hearts and our minds to what you want to say and what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture I have for you, I'm going to read two different versions, is 3 John 2. It says, "Dear friend," this is the NIV, "I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." In the King James Version, I like it better. "Beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Most sickness and disease, and Dr. David was here last service, and he confirmed this, is rooted in our soul. It's rooted in our soul. It's not an external thing. It's rooted in us, right? So you are a spirit, you are a soul, this is in Thessalonians, I believe, chapter 2, and you are a body. You're a spirit, you're a soul, and a body. Your spirit, if you're a born-again believer, is just as he is in this world. You're just as Jesus is. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are sinless. You are holy. You are righteous. You're amazing. You're just like him. But then we have this thing called the soul, right? It's our mind. It's our will. It's our emotions. It's the attitude of our hearts. And then we have a physical body, right? So you're a three-part being. So your spirit is always trying to tell your soul, hey, don't be condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You've been set free. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But your soul's like, no, no, no. You should have seen how I talked to my husband this morning. You should have seen how I kicked the dog this morning. You should have seen how I told everybody they were number one in traffic today with my middle finger. I understand that I'm holy and stuff. I read that in Scripture, but I don't know that I'm really acting that out in my soul, in my mind. I have shameful thoughts, condemning thoughts, all these kind of thoughts, so I don't feel so holy and righteous and just as Jesus is. Is anybody with me? So Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern in this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can test and approve the perfect will of God." This is what it's talking about. Soul, wake up to who you are in the spirit. Repent and believe that. And when you believe that in your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions, you will start to see the kingdom of God, that spirit, manifest in your physical body. Thank you for that thunderous applause there. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it takes a minute. When you're saved, you are justified just as he is in this world. But it takes time, sanctification, this repentance, this renewing of your mind to become like you really are in the spirit. Does this make sense? All right, so where am I going with this? Your physical body, and the way you care for it is in direct correlation of your revelation of who you are in the Spirit. If you do not care about yourself, and you do not want to take care of yourself, and you don't love yourself, you do not know who you are in Christ. Because you were so valuable that he died for you. Not only did he die for you, but he took a beating for your healing, and he died for your healing as well. It is precious to him. It is valuable to him. So valuable that he gave his life for it. Which leads me to point number one. Are you ready? Jesus values our physical health just as much as he valued removing our sins. Just as much. Just as much. I have some scriptures if you don't believe me. He not only forgave our sins, but he also healed our diseases. If Jesus only forgave my sins so that I can be in a relationship with him, that would be enough for me. I mean, sign me up. Like, who wouldn't want to sign up for that? But he's so awesome, he didn't stop there. He says, not only am I going to forgive all your sins, remove them as far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your transgressions from you, but I'm also going to heal all your diseases. So look at this in Psalm 103. It says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. And just in case you don't believe that one, I got another one. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore all our sins in his body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were, past tense, healed. If you don't believe that one, I got another one for you. Mark chapter 2, verse 9 through 12, which is easier to say to this paralyzed man? Your sins are forgiven, are now forgiven, or stand up and walk, be healed. Forgiven, be healed. But to convince you that the Son of Man has been given authority to forgive sins, I say to this man, stand up, pick up your stretcher, and walk home. Be healed. Immediately the man sprang to his feet in front of everyone and left for home. If you don't believe that one, I have one more. James 5, and they're all throughout Old Testament, New Testament. James 5, 14. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, heal him. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Healed, forgiven. Forgiven, healed. Healed, forgiven. Amen? So why does God forgive sins and heal diseases? Why does he do that? Have you ever thought about that? It's just over and over in Scripture. Joey, I like you, buddy. Me and Joey's gotten to, you know, build a relationship over the past couple months. He's a great man. And Joey and I, we're going to build this relationship together. I'm saying this to illustrate a point. But before Joey and I hang out, Joey's an electrician, a great electrician. Joey smashed his pinky with a hammer really, really bad. And it is just throbbing, and he's got it taped up. But he and I, we're going to hang out, and we're going to build this relationship together. How much do you think Joey will care about building a relationship with me after he smashed his pinky? He's probably going to be thinking about his pinky the entire time. And it's going to hinder us building a relationship together. Can I say it this way? The reason the Lord wants you healthy, whole, and disease-free is so that you can have a passionate, intimate relationship with him. That's why he forgave your sins, so that you can come in and have a relationship with him. And that's why he heals our diseases, so that we can have a relationship with him. That's what it's about. It is about love. It is about love, connection, and because, listen, if you are struggling in your health, and somebody's telling you to have a relationship with God, you're going to be thinking more about your health than your relationship with God. God still loves you, all these things, but he wants connection. It hinders connection. Sickness hinders connection with God. And that's why he did both. Forgave sin and healed diseases. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So let me give you a little story real quick, and we're gonna get into this a little bit more. But I was a crazy youth pastor. I feel like I still am a youth pastor. And this particular area that we were ministering at had a lot of skaters and BMXers. And to reach the community, I built a 16-foot half pipe, like down at the altar of the, so we moved all the chairs back, and it was a 16-foot half pipe. And we had this big outreach event. Hundreds of kids came, lots of food. We had a band play. It was awesome. Well, afterwards, we were cleaning up, and I drop in on this 16-foot half pipe. I snowboard, I motocross, I BMX, I skated, I've done all those things. I love them. I still do them today. But I had dress shoes on. And I just went ahead and I'd never dropped in on a 16-foot half pipe, maybe 12, maybe 10. 16 feet is high. It's very high, right? Well, I snap my leg like a stick. It broke it, and I could see the sole of my foot facing back up at me. Yes, that makes you feel very comfortable, doesn't it? But in the process, I severed a nerve, and no pain pill, no drug could help me. Like, it was painful. Like, this doesn't work, but I had severed a nerve, and then the pain would chase all through my body. So I was, like, bedridden for a long time till that nerve healed. And I would sit there on the couch. We had two small children at the time, and I'm like, Lord, why don't you heal me? I'm full of pain. And he would talk to me and said, Dustin, have you ever thanked me for your eyesight? I'm like, Lord, I'm dying of pain. What are you talking about my eyesight? You know? He said, do you like seeing? Yes, Lord, I love seeing, but I'm in pain here. Dustin, have you ever appreciated the ability to hear? There's people that can't hear. Do you appreciate the ability to taste? And he went through all my five senses, walking, talking, and he would show me each and everything. I'm like, no, Lord, I've never valued that. I've just taken it for granted. And he said, Dustin, you've taken your health for granted, and I died for you to be healthy. I died for you to be healthy. And every time that you didn't appreciate your physical body, it was like a slap in the face to me. Because I paid a big price for you. And I said, Lord, get me up out of this bed and I will take care of myself for the rest of my life. I went on to do some triathlons and I did some other things, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I determined in my heart, I got a revelation of his love for me, of what the price that he paid for me. And I began to pursue a health journey before it was totally out of vanity. I wanted to look good and flex my muscles for my wife. But now it was because God loved me so much, I wanted and rescued me and gave this great gift of health to me. I wanted to steward what God had given me to glorify him. And I'm telling you, it's easier than getting on some cardboard and kale diet and working out crazy and like counting your macros and your micros and all this kind of stuff. When you get a revelation of in your heart how much God loves you and that he died for your health, it is easy to take care of yourself. All you're saying, I don't believe you. There's a difference between divine healing and divine health. Divine healing and divine health. Divine healing is a supernatural act which God comes in and intervenes and supernaturally does some things for you, okay? Divine health is stewarding that miracle. Are you with me? Let me illustrate the point. So the people of Israel were delivered from Pharaoh in Egypt through supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. We would call that divine healing, right? He did the 10 supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. They go out into the desert. It was a 13-day journey, but it took them 40 years. But as soon as they crossed the Jordan, as soon as they crossed the Jordan into the promised land, as soon as they stepped their foot on the ground, the miracle manna stopped coming. And then they had to take out their sword and possess what the Lord had already divinely given them. So let me explain it to you this way. God can supernaturally deliver us from ailments and things and supernaturally heal us. But it's up to us to take out our sword and maintain that divine healing. If I had another gentleman, I prayed for his back in the service. He sat back here. If he now doesn't steward this healing, his back could start hurting again. How do you steward it? Well, if you're carrying a lot of weight on your back, it's going to hurt your back again, right? Things like that. So we want to steward what the Lord's done. We want to go possess what he's died to give us, and that is divine health. We do not have to be on prescription drugs. You do not have to have the 3 or 4 o'clock crash. You do not have to live on 4 or 5 hours of sleep. You can get a good night's sleep. You can have a full, vibrant, healthy, physical life. Right? You can. But it's up to you to go get it. It's available for you. It's available for you. Isn't this such an exciting message? Aren't you just so excited? They're just hooting and hollering over here, Pastor Jarrett. So, you know, you got one body. You got one body. Pastor Jarrett said in last service, or the last week's service, like, you have one life. There's no do-overs. We need margin in our life, in every area. And I'm just talking about one. But you got one physical body. No one in this room or ever hearing this message will ever regret taking care of your physical body. No one. Everyone in this room and listening to this message will or is regretting not taking care of their body. This is stewardship of what the Lord's given us. Let's go possess this divine healing that he died to give us. He died to give us. Give you point number two. Caring for your physical body is a sign of a mature believer. Caring for your physical body is a sign of a mature believer. I'm going to read some things to you here that I typed out. Jesus died to save you. It's sozo in the Greek, sozo. And when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you were saved. The salvation you received when you believed covered your entire being, spirit, soul, and body. Sozo, salvation, means to make well, to heal, to restore to health. In the moment of your salvation, you were not only forgiven, but you were restored to health. The health that was made available to you through Jesus' death is all-inclusive. It doesn't just apply to your physical body, but also to your mental health, your financial health, your relational health, you name it. To live a life of health is to walk in freedom and prosperity, prosperity of soul, as well as in mental and physical wellness. To say that your health is only for your body is to deny the portion of what Jesus died for you. True divine health is an all-encompassing health that was provided to you on the cross. Jesus died to give you not just divine healing in your body, but divine health for every aspect of life. This means it is yours right now. Just like forgiveness of sins is yours, and nobody could convince you otherwise, divine health is also yours. You receive it all in the same way by having faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen, I have made a mess of my life through sin. A total mess, right? Total mess. I didn't get my life together, right? And then God saved me. I was a total mess. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me, right? But I gave my life to Jesus. I had faith in Jesus, and he supernaturally transformed my heart. The old is gone. The new has come. I'm no longer of the old nature, but of the new nature of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Some of us in the same way have made a mess of our physical bodies. It's okay. The provision is there for divine healing, right? But just like when I was a sinner and I got saved, great, I'm saved. That doesn't mean that I want to go back to sinning because I realized what it did to my life. It says, you know, like pigs go back to the mud and dogs go back to their stuff in the Bible, right? Like we don't want to go back. In the same way, when God does a miracle in your life, this miracle healing, or he gives you information to walk in a better way in physical health, we don't want to go back to what caused the physical problem in the first place, right? Does this make sense? So if you made a mess of your life, great, you're in the right spot. Jesus is in the business of fixing us, right? Right, yes. Thunderous applause in the back over here. I got one here and one here. Got two people with me. Yeah. I believe people do not take care of their physical bodies because they don't value them and they don't, and they have not taken their physical, they have taken their physical health for granted. Sorry. If we saw how much Jesus loved us and who we are in Christ and what he had to go through for us to be healed and healthy, then we would be good stewards of our health out of love and appreciation for him. Divine healing is for every person in this room. If you're a born-again believer, it's for you. The world has done better at being physically healthy than the church. They have. I love you, but I'm going to tell you something else. Before you evangelize and you're going to advance the kingdom of God and we're going to do all these things for Jesus, or you're going to put some kind of Christian political ideology on somebody or something like that, the Lord's like, that's all great. You want to go change the world for the kingdom, all small group plants, whatever that, but what have you done with you? What have you done with the first and most important resource that I died to give you? Your physical health, your body, your mind, your will, your all these things. What have you done with you? Okay? It is a stewardship thing. And I have cried many, many, many tears at many funerals of loved ones for that are totally preventable. Totally preventable. Especially in the church. That's why I'm bringing this message. That's why I'm passionate about it. And I believe revival begins with us. And part of it is getting an identity, getting a revelation of who you are in Christ, how much Christ loves you, and then it will be easy to take care of your physical body. Right? Yes, Pastor Johnny, come on up. Play us something nice. I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. Prosper being health as your soul prospers. God has done his part. We got to do ours. If you've messed up, great, you're in good company. We've all messed up. I've messed up in every area of my life, I promise you, multiple times, right, babe? But the Lord can rescue us. We don't have to go back and keep messing up. We can have divine health. I hope this is encouraging you. That the Lord actually told me that somebody's life would be saved by this message today, just by simple acts of you getting a revelation of who you are and starting to take care of yourself. Every 43 seconds, somebody dies of a heart attack. Every 43 seconds. What do I do now? What do I do now? I love working out. I love it. I do it. I love eating right. I don't have a cheat day. You can ask my wife. I actually get upset when we go to restaurants because the food at restaurants are not as good as my food. I am completely satisfied with every meal that I eat. Every meal that I eat. The way I eat, I don't have a cheat day. I'm not restricted. I am very, very free. I am very free. I don't have to work out. I get to work out. I get to move and get sunlight and things like that. It's not this obligation. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I look forward to this. I didn't start that way, though. I didn't even know where to start. After I got healed from my leg being broken, I'm like, okay, I started doing triathlons, and I started doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and I'm like, I cannot maintain this. I mean, my bicycle alone with no wheels was $1,400. I'm like, who wants to do that? I mean, maybe some of you do triathlons, but I couldn't afford some of the things. But God honored my pursuit of stewarding my health. I started my journey, not out of vanity because I wanted to look good, but because I wanted to steward the life that God died to give me. There's a big difference. And when you look at physical health that way, it is easy to take care of yourself. You are important to Him. You are valuable. You were bought with a price. You are not your own. He owns you. You are a steward of this life. You got one shot. Love yourself. We love because he first loved us. Love yourself. You won't regret it ever. This is a message like instead of like putting courage, and it's like I feel like I'm just, come on, man. I'm pushing you a little bit. Just pushing you. At another conversation, I could probably sit down and I can tell you all about food and exercise and diet, but if you don't have the heart, it's going to be a law that you have to keep, and it'll be oppressive, and you won't be able to maintain it. I don't want that for you. I want you to get a revelation of how much he loves you and how important and valuable you are, and then you will begin to steward yourself. And then the other thing with like all the social media and like especially with ladies, I feel sorry for you guys. You get like this unrealistic standard that is put on you guys all the time. You could throw all that out the window. You can throw it all out the window. When you know how valuable and beautiful and important you are to God, you will take care of yourself better on accident than you ever could on purpose. And true beauty will shine through that no makeup, no hair, no nothing can give you. You will radiate because you value yourself. Ah, I could go on and on. I'm sick of the like eating disorders and all the pressure. It's ridiculous. We don't live like the world lives. There's a better way to live. Practical steps. Number one, I want you to ask yourself, why don't I take care of myself? Why don't I? And it is a shame and condemnation issue. And let the Lord take you down that road. Why don't I choose to take care of myself? It's pretty easy. Second practical step. Lord, what would you like for me to do in regards to my physical body? Is that hard? I'm not asking to join CrossFit, you know, hike 20 miles, run a marathon, do it. Like I could, like, no, I'm not asking you to do that. Find out why you don't want to take care of yourself. Well, I'm not disciplined. Well, I'm lazy. Well, I like to sleep in. I like junk food. Well, who doesn't? Right? But there's a reason you've thrown that up. There's a reason you're saying that, oh, that's just me. There's a reason why you've settled in there. I'll save you hundreds of hours of counseling. It's because you don't value yourself like Jesus does. That's why. You're so don't think about what you have to stop doing. It's the third one. Don't think about what you have to stop doing. Start little baby steps doing some good things. If it's drinking water instead of soda, awesome. Smoking one cigarette instead of 20, awesome. Or one pack instead of 5, awesome. Start doing something. If it's going for a walk, getting some sunlight, just you know what you need to do in your life to start. Start doing something. You open up your heart to what the Lord wants to do in your life, he will show you. He will bring people in your path. I'm not about to give you some like a law that will be condemning, you know, and then, oh, I can't measure, and there goes another New Year's resolution. No. Really let the Lord deal with your heart, and it'll happen. Your physical health will be the fruit of what he does in your heart. Everybody seen the movie, Saving Private Ryan? Raise your hands. You've seen Saving Private Ryan? Amazing movie. Three brothers. They're all at war. I think it's World War II. Two of the brothers died. One brother is still alive. The U.S. government sends this team in to go rescue the brother that's still alive from the front lines and bring him back home so the family will still have a surviving son. All the men that went and rescued Private Ryan die rescuing him. They sacrificed their life so that he could live. And there's a scene in the movie towards the end of the movie. Private Ryan goes to the cemetery and he visits the gravesite of the leader of those men who went and rescued him. And it is a moving scene. You know what I'm talking about if you've seen it, but all his family's behind him, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. And he's older, he could barely walk. And he he breaks down at the tombstone and he says, was I a good man? Did I live a good life? Did I make your death worth saving me? Was your sacrifice worth the life I lived? Did I live a good life? Did I steward your death well? Wife comes, assures him, yes, you lived a good life. You're a good man. We all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. We all want to hear that. Was Jesus' death worth your life? Are you living up to what he sacrificed for you? And he's not going to worry about so much what you did way out there. He's going to worry about what he died for right here more than anything. Churches, planting churches and ministries and all these great things, they're amazing. But he's going to, what did you do with the life that I died to give you? What did you do with the life that I died to give you? And I guarantee you, it's very important, your physical health, because it's all throughout Scripture. Last slide here, slide. 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. This will help your relationship with the Lord in a major, major way. Will you pray with me? Lord, we pray for revival all the time, Lord, and I'm praying for it now. And I pray that there would be a revival of your love that happens in the hearts of the men and women here today, that they would see themselves like you see them, that their true identity and who they are in Christ would become known, that they would see how you sacrificed your life so that they could live, so that they would value their physical health. Give us revelation, Lord, in this area. Help us look to you and not the world on how to take care of ourselves, how to love ourselves. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I just bind fear, eating disorders, bulimia, anorexia, in the name of Jesus, and I pray for a proper identity to drop. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Skin disorders, we command you to go. Infertility, we command you to go. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray for divine healing and health over your people today. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand?